It's for the
Okay.
listener. It's not, we know how to play. We're
And
seasoned
it's for
pros.
me.
Too many men. Too many men.
Oh, that's way too many.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Too Many Men podcast, Trade Deadline Edition. I am your host, Allison Lucan, and I would be thrilled if I could spend any time in person, but only we do it virtually, with the one person who seems to have pissed off Nikita Zadorov, Sarah Sivian. How are you?
Oh my goodness. Did everybody see that? Hockey night in Canada, I was celebrating being done with the trade deadline. All of a sudden I get a DM and it's like Nikita Zadorov chirping me on hockey night in Canada. He didn't say my name. He's called me Barstool TSN. So that's, we're going to unpack that. But he said, I don't know about the person who does those style rankings. I'm like, I don't know about her either. And I do make fun of him on like every style ranking. So I think he's hilarious. And I don't love his style, but I love his dedication to the style. And I love that he can take it like a champ. And so can I. So thanks, Nikita. But say my name next time, please.
So wait, to be clear, you think he has good style or he has bad style?
It's not my favorite.
It's bold though. It's bold.
He loves like mock turtlenecks and double-breasted suits. It's like, that's his look. And he has like 17 different iterations of it. It's just not my thing. I like a more casual street style, but you know what? He's really good at his thing that he does. And if he likes it, he likes it. We're all different. That's the beauty of fashion.
Amen. All right. Well, we would not be too many men if we did not have someone who both Jackie Redmond and I say is the best part of trade deadline, our own gossip girl extraordinaire, Shayna Goldman. Shayna, have you recovered from all of your writing over the past, what would it be, probably 4, 5, 6 days?
No, I think I felt like I hit a quick wall last night, but we got to get right back up, you know, like unglue her face from the wall and get back to work. I got shit to do this week.
Your face is glued to the wall?
You hit the wall, and I was like, I'm stuck on it. Now I had to like rip it off and be like, nope, not yet. I will take a break before the playoffs, so I have a brain cell when I'm talking about that. But until then, enjoy. This is where we are.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. All right. As I said, my friends, we are here with a very special, albeit delayed, trade deadline episode. We will return to our regularly scheduled format with Bitto News and all that other fun stuff on later this week. But we've got a lot to talk about, and we all discussed it, and we feel like with 32 teams in this league, some of which we like, some of which we don't, and if we don't like you, we may not discuss your moves even if we think that they are good, that we are going to attack the trade deadline using our very favorite format, and that is buy, sell. Do I have to recap the rules, Shayna?
Yes. It's okay. For the listener. It's not, we know how to play. We're a seasoned
And it's
pros.
For me.
The listener, if you're new here, we like to play this game, and Allison has these very important rules for us to follow. What are they?
Do you remember?
Yes.
What are they?
You're going to say a team, and then we have to say buy or sell, and if we say buy, we're talking about them. If we say sell, we're not talking about them, and we're going to do it at the same time, and that's all I got.
And how do you know when to say what you think?
Count to three.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. We're counting to one.
And what if you disagree?
Shit, there's another wrinkle in this. These curves, these loopholes, it's basically a version of LTIR. God. If we say different things, we're not talking about them. They're out.
That's right. Correct. Good job, Shane. I'm very proud of you. Okay. Any questions? Sarah's ready to kill us already.
No. I can either go or I'll forget it already.
All right, here we go. Starting, and we will go through the league alphabetically. We're looking at the, do you want me to recap the trades or just say the team?
Just say the team. We'll pretend we know the trades. Okay. We'll make them up.
Well, this is a good filter, because if you don't know the trades, then you know it's sell, because we weren't impressed by them in the first place. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Anaheim Ducks. Buy or sell? 3, 2, 1.
Sell.
Okay, perfect. All right. See, we're doing beautifully already.
Wow.
Here we go. Arizona Coyotes. Buy or sell? 3, 2, 1.
Buy.
Bye.
No.
We're going to sync up. We're going to sync up. It's only A.
The coyotes, like, it's interesting in the same way, I guess, the ducks are, where it's like the ducks could have done what the coyotes did, and it would have been bad. Like, it was a seller's market, and the way Zucker only went for a sixth rounder just really shows that. Shayna, your thoughts?
If this team would retain an ounce of goddamn salary, they could have gotten something back. And I just look at them and I'm like, you need to not be stuck in the mud. You need to do something. You need to, at some point, try to be good. And all you ever see them do is rack up dead cap hit so they don't have to pay salaries. Like, here's a bunch of LTIR IR hits, and they didn't do it this year. Great, wonderful. But what did you do? You signed players that you knew were going to be trade chips, and then you sold them for pennies on the dollar because you were cheap. What are we doing here?
I like how Sarah just completely went past the fact that I was going to point out that you guys still didn't say it together on time and went straight to her analysis, which is excellent. But yes, so to recap, what Shayna and Sarah are frustrated about is that Arizona sent out Matt Dumba, Jason Zucker, and Troy Stetcher, and got in total a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth round pick. And only the sixth round pick is eligible this year. The other two are 3 years from now. So yay. But I mean, I guess there's bigger concerns. Like, are they actually going to exist after this season? So, all right, here we go. It's going to get spicy now. The Bruins of Boston. 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Oh, good job. Excellent. Okay. The Boston Bruins, quiet, acquired Andrew Peak from the Columbus Blue Jackets and Patrick Maroon from the Minnesota Wild. Shayna, your thoughts?
Underwhelmed completely. And it's like, I get it. They're looking at a round one matchup versus the Leafs, and they can feel pretty confident based on like the regular season that they can take them out. But like, you still have the Panthers. You still have teams like the Canes and the Rangers around you doing things. And this wasn't it. For them, you're thinking center or a winger, right? Another forward, take it up a notch, and a left-handed defenseman. Instead, they bring in Peak, who, will he be maximized in Boston? Totally possible, right? They're very good with that. But his numbers are so concerning to me, and it's in very limited usage in Columbus, that he is not the person I would have invested in, especially when he has term. I get it, he'll replace Kevin Shattenkirk next year. But that, to me, was not the move.
Sarah, you were actually boots on the ground with Boston the day after the deadline. What's your take?
No, I was hoping to see Joel Edmondson, but we'll get to that because he was playing on the Leafs. Or he wasn't, but he got signed. But anyway, oh, it's so, so difficult with these Bruins right now because they're in this position where it's so hindsight is 2020 or even like foresight is 2020. But like, what can you do right now? What should you do right now? I think there is something to be said about not trading Ullmark, especially if the rumors were true, it was going to be PLD. Like, that's the last person you need on this team. But I think there's a human element to it. And you see how Swayman and Ullmark have been such a great partnership. And I think that is like, it's so rare because there is competition amongst goalies, but these two genuinely thrive off of each other. And you worry about an effect that happens if Ullmark is to leave. It's like, then Swayman might not be as, it's like a domino effect. It could be. And you saw, did anybody watch the end of their first game back where Swayman was like, with the goalie hug, he's like, you're staying. Yeah. Like, that's sometimes GMs like go hunting for a trade deadline acquisition like the Hurricanes to reward players. But in this point, I think everybody loves Ullmark and like he's really important in the locker room. And I think they rewarded the team with him staying. But that being said, I would have loved to see them get a Lindholm. But then you think like, what, like, why would the Canucks trade Lindholm to benefit the Bruins when you think about
it? It would only be if they got Gensel.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So that whole domino effect happened. It's like, what could the Bruins do? Maybe a little bit more. Maybe they could have got like a good depth center, like mid-six center is something I would have liked. But then you got Pavel Zacha like on a heater randomly. So maybe he'll keep it up. I guess we'll see. Underwhelmed was well though.
Yeah, you're right. Points for not trading away a goaltender. I just couldn't even believe that was on the table. That seemed insane to me when you really want to try and contend. But like, Andrew Peak is a choice. I mean, he's yeah. And almost $3 million. I don't.
I think Olmark's a summer move. Consider that in the
summer.
Oh
yeah, for sure, 100%.
But $2.9 million for another 2 years? I was like, and he might not even play much. Like, Forbert's on LTIR, so you need someone like in the interim. But like, what?
Yes.
It makes no sense.
Rangoon, you seem pleased.
I know. Rangoon is delightful today. We love seeing this. All right, here we go. Moving on. We got, 20 some odd teams still to go through here. All right, math, not good at it. Who knew?
Who knew?
Buffalo Sabres, 3-2-1.
So.
Wow, we're not going to talk about Bowen Byram. Okay, we're moving on.
I feel like we'll get to him. We're going to get there.
The Flaming Calgaries, 3-2-1.
Bye.
Okay, Sarah, your turn to go first.
Yeah, that was a lot. And I think we're going to see it was such a seller's market. Like, I'm going to keep saying this, and not really with the quality of most players, but with kind of like how easy it was to acquire them. And the fact that Tanev went for not a first round pick, and you get, I guess Gensel didn't go for a first round pick either. So like, it was bizarre, but you get random first round picks in other places we will discuss. But I don't think it's good that they traded the biggest hot commodity, because so many people needed a right-hand defenseman, like with Chris Tanev, a stay-at-home too. And it's like, they set the tone for themselves in not a great way by having that happen. They did so much, but they also didn't trade away the goalie. I'm like, okay, what did they do?
Markstrom.
I'm like, okay, that you probably could have got your biggest return on that, and you're going to wait till, I don't know. It was kind of bizarre the way it all unfolded. What do you think?
Well, I actually give them props for staying committed to the vision and not repeating history and keep, because they were on a heater too, right? They won like how many, 4 or 5 in a row, like leading up into the deadline, and they were in the mix. So I actually give them credit, and except that they handled the Markstrom thing terribly, apparently, based on what the player has said publicly. And we'll talk about that more on Wednesday. But Shayna, you wanted to talk Flames. You like it or you don't like it?
I don't like it.
I
love the teams that, like, the Flyers and Flames, like, if they sell and then can keep winning, I think that's great, right? Like, the players can come together and make something happen, all for it. So agree with you. They stayed the course and did the right thing. I look at them and it felt like Markstrom, it's a missed opportunity, because he's in his mid-30s, right? He's having this unbelievable year, and you could sell him for 2 playoff runs. You sell him this summer, yes, it's easier to move a goalie in the summer than in season. It rarely happens, especially someone of his caliber. But, like, he's going to be older, and I think that's going to hurt too. I would sell him while he's having this literally Vezina-caliber year. And it feels like they just completely did wrong by the player and by themselves that way. But my biggest issue is how they handled the Noah Hanifin situation. Like, they moved Lindholm and Tanev early. They did not allow the market to kind of blow up in their favor, which I think it could have. I think there would have been more demand for those players closer to the deadline. When you move them sooner, you're giving a team more bang for their buck. So I also would push up the price. Like, you want us to move Lindholm now instead of waiting the month? Cool. It's going to be an extra X if you want him. Like, they didn't do that because they kept acting like Hanifin was going to bring back this massive return, because they were so intent on sending him somewhere he was going to extend. And I know he had some trade protections to direct that, but it felt like they wanted to get everything out of the way so they could only focus on Hanifin. And then they still got less back for Hanifin than like the Flyers did for Sean Walker, when this is the top defenseman on the market. Like, they honestly should have just treated him like a rental and tried to get more back. I was so underwhelmed by that return.
Okay, wait a minute. You're unhappy with the Lindholm return?
I'm unhappy with the Hanifin return.
But you said they should have asked for more.
I think they could have for Lindholm.
I would have squeezed every dime
for him, and the Tanev return even more. I'm like, that you didn't even get a first. You need big pieces to thread the needle. And I just feel like
they got Tanev a first round pick.
Not for Tanev.
No, for Lindholm.
I know. I just wonder if they, like, you see the prices, like, it felt like they set the market, when I felt like if they waited, maybe they could have just gotten some unrealistically high return. We would have been like, who the hell spent that? Someone would have.
I know, because there were so many teams that needed to be in on one, and then you saw those teams get, like, Edmondson. Like, it's not, like, you think the Leafs would have done something stupid for Chris Tanev, you think?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why were, maybe, I don't know. This is one of the situations where I'd kill to be in on the conversations and see what really happened. Like, what did Jim Neal do to convince them to take Tanev off the market that quick?
Yeah. Or did they not have as many offers then because teams were waiting? Maybe they didn't think they wanted to move on Tanev yet, and they weren't as aggressive in pursuing him like they would have been a week later. Like, I don't know.
I mean, literally, the Flames have like the longest trade recaps of any team at this deadline. I don't know how you can say that they should have gotten more for Lindholm.
I mean, the Lindholm return, I don't think was bad per se. I'm just like, I feel like there was an opportunity.
I want to recap. They got three players, Kuzmenko, Yermo, and a name I cannot say.
Kuzmenko's a cap dump.
Okay, fine. They got a body. Right.
Yeah.
And then they got a 2024 first round and a 2024 fourth round that can become a third round this year.
If I was taking on Kuzmenko, who was having such a shit season that he was not even in the Canucks lineup consistently, I would have been like, you want us to take this money?
You've already decided you're not contending when you start making these trades. So who cares?
I would care. I would. I just feel like it's just rookie mistakes. I'm looking at it. It looked to me like, you know, when Mike Greer took over for the Sharks and it felt like it was like a little bit of like a low swing on each thing. And you're like, that's going to burn you. That's going to burn you. Like, that's your rookie mistake. It just felt like that was happening now. And it's the worst time for that to happen.
We are at an impasse. Let us move on. Fine. I know you
once
think
in a while.
Fine.
It's all right.
All right. Here we go. The Carolina Hurricanes. 3-2-1.
Bye.
Sarah, go ahead.
First of all, Don Waddell starting his press conference with, we like our group, like making fun of himself was hilarious. I'm hard on him. I tried to have some conversations with him during this deadline. He wasn't happy. And I don't blame him. I'm bullying him online. Like, of course, he's not responding to me. But like, I will never stop bullying them until they go do something like they just did. So thank you. Bullying works. We like our group. We love our group now. And I think that was the perfect situation of, okay, we're going to be patient. And then Jake Guentzel is exactly what a team like this needs. I saw Greg Wyshynski, and they didn't even, it's a conditional first. So either they make the playoffs or they keep their first round pick. And that is so Eric Tolstoy.
If they make the playoffs.
Of course, they're making the playoffs. The final, you don't see conditioning like that these days. Like, usually it's okay, round one. It's like, no, you better make the Stanley Cup final or we get our first. Like, agreeing to that is a little wild, if you ask me. But Dubas, I guess his hands were tied. I don't know. Like, Jake Guentzel, you have to remember he is a rental, but I'm hearing the Hurricanes, there's mutual interest there to treat him right. And like, they're going to be a good team for years to come, as long as they kind of figure out their pesky contracts, whatever it is they have to do this offseason. But Kuznetsov is the interesting one too, because that's more classic Hurricanes, where you take kind of I don't want to like insult him and say it's a reclamation project, but on the ice too, it's very much he and a lot of that core group of the Capitals have struggled the past few years, no matter where they are in the world. And it's like, I think the Hurricanes are a perfect environment for some skill like that to make a comeback and to have the drive. He's in a situation where he immediately gets this amazing opportunity to succeed. With like, you take a look at their wingers, and now it could be Jake Guentzel too at his wing. It's like, wow, Metro Division Blenderama line. But I was looking at Greg Wyshynski's story from the 2022 All-Star game that Kuznetsov was in, and it was like a love fest with Rod Brind'Amour and Evgeny Kuznetsov. And I somehow completely missed the story when it was happening, but I guess Kuznetsov was on Brind'Amour's team, Metro Division, whatever, coach. And he was like telling Rod, I'm going to go out and score. And Rod was like, all right, bet, go out and score. And he did. And they were both just like, wow, we're really impressed with each other. So of course, something like that, that you look back on that and they're both excited to play or coach each other. And I feel like that has every working to be kind of a little magical story at the end. It warms my heart. And Don, hats off, mock turtlenecks off to you.
All right, so to recap, as Sarah just said, the Hurricanes brought in Evgeny Kuznetsov, Jake Guentzel, and they shipped out Michael Bunting was the big piece, other as well as some AHL players. But Shayna, what is your observation on the new look Hurricanes?
Yeah, I don't Bunting was someone I thought was going to be a really good top six fit there, and it just didn't it didn't work out. So I think getting out of that contract now, that's a good thing. The Kuznetsov addition is so interesting because you look at the flaws in his game, and it's, you know, the defense he struggled with. Like, they have the support. If anyone knows how to maximize a player, it's the Carolina Hurricanes, right? They have four centers already. So if he can't shake it down the middle, you could shift him to the wing, no problem. Like, I think he brings the flash and skill this lineup could use, and then they have what he needs to balance out his game. I'm really intrigued if he can show, like, he's not completely washed. And he was pretty good at points last year, so there's definitely potential there. But the Guentzel move is everything we've been asking for and more with the Hurricanes. And I think we're a little bit harsh with them because we see such a good team so many times, and it's like, if you just get some finishing talent, they're like, here's another defenseman. And you're like, but if you just get a scoring winger, and they're like, but how about one more defenseman? Like, we're so hard on them because we know they can be so good. They just need something to get to the next level. Like, here it is, finally. And it's kind of funny, like, we compliment Colorado, right? Like, they know when to make the move, they know when not to make the move. But Carolina, we're like, just make the fucking move every year. They did. So let's see how it shakes out for them. Like, this was everything and more they needed. So great swing for them. Absolutely. It's about damn time.
Well, there you go. All right. We're not going to even take a vote on Chicago because they made one middling move and it's not even worth discussing. So let's go on to the Colorado Avalanche, who made a lot of noise. They got Brandon Duhaime. They got Bowen Byram to Buffalo, who we didn't talk about. They acquired Sean Walker, sending out Ryan Johansson to the Flying Torches. And they made a couple other AHL moves. Buy or sell, 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Okay, Shayna, go ahead.
They are probably the most one of the most interesting teams to me this deadline. I love everything they did. Sean Walker, I think, is fantastic. We're wondering, how is he going to look outside the Bradshaw and John Tortorella system of Philly? Here's a great opportunity. Colorado, a team with, you know, like, so much skill, and, you know, they're so good in front of the goal crease. So I think it's a good fit for him. It's, yes, their defense is small. Yes, they have a lot of, like, similar traits on this defense, but they're just leaning into their strengths. I don't have a problem with that. The depth adds at the time. I was a little surprised at Trenin and Duhaime, but it makes sense when you see the Logan O'Connor season-ending surgery. So just a little bit more sandpaper at the bottom of the lineup and good defensive players. Love that. But to get rid
Shayna
of Ryan,
Grit Goldman over here.
I mean, there's grit and there's, you know, like, there's grit and sandpaper of, like, the Ryan Reeves of the world. But then there's productive defensive grit that it's, like, the hard to play against players, and that's them. I think that's what you want in your bottom six. It's like hard skill. That's how I think of hard skill, and I'm like, I love that. But to get rid of Ryan Johansson's contract the way they did in that Sean
Oh.
Walker trade is incredible to me. I thought he was going to bounce back in Colorado, right? Like, they're so good. He'll have great wingers. Didn't work out. Casey Mittelstadt, I think some of his numbers are a little bit inflated in Buffalo, some of his scoring numbers. And it doesn't always line up with below what he shows below the surface. But I feel like playing in Colorado now is going to be the perfect place for him to balance that out. The Byram trade was the shock of everything. That trade blew my mind. We all have been waiting for Sam Girard to be the cap casualty there, right? And you have Byram, who came in the playoffs and was outstanding and has been so hit or miss since, and a lot of it's injury based. I think him getting the chance to play bigger minutes is exactly what he needs in Buffalo. I love that trade for them. But to bring back a second line center, now you have Mittelstadt and Colton as your young middle six center depth. That's what this team needs, because we don't see a ton of draft picks from them and prospects coming up the ranks. You thought Newhook was going to be that guy. He wasn't. And now they found their own new look, young center depth. I think it's great.
Sarah?
I mean, yeah, you absolutely nailed it. I was confused, obviously, when Deshaun Walker, I was, like, pleasantly confused. Like, you know, it's okay, sure. Why not add him in? He kind of reminds me of what they want their defensive structure to be, but, like, I wasn't seeing the fit. And obviously, Byron gets shipped out to the Sabres. And this was one that it feels like we'd make in our own armchair GM, like, position before the deadline, where it's like, oh, they probably won't make anything this complicated, but you might as well, like, this is what I do. And it's like, they did it. And I really like that. I like the creativity, and I like I think it shows you have a smart front office if you're able to have these conversations aligned with other GMs where you're getting one in, one out in the way that you want to just like slightly upgrade the team or slightly, slightly without changing too much. And you get the Johansson contract out while Landeskog might be able to come in. It's like you're tinkering in a way that isn't a one for one that kind of lets you optimize it even more because the leverage, nobody knows what the leverage situation going on here is. So I thought that was something that like we fans of the game would think of that GM actually pulled off. So I'm a fan of it.
And I, again, I'm surprised no one wants to talk about it because I think Buffalo's defense is going to be very, very, very interesting to watch going forward. All right, Columbus Blue Jackets make some moves clearing their free agents. And then they also brought in Willie's brother, Alexander, as well as Malcolm Subban for future considerations. Columbus, buy or sell, 3, 2, and 1.
Sell.
Sell.
The Dallas Stars, who we already talked about a little bit, bringing in Chris Tanev, and that was their one big splashy move. We kind of already talked about it. 3, 2, 1, buy or sell.
So,
yep.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Shayna, people can't hear you nod.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're ignoring Detroit because, again, if you make only one trade and it's a tiny one, we don't care. Let's move on to the
We're both so disappointed in you, Detroit. We've been we were talking about how pumped we are about them. And then
I know.
Can't.
There's still time. There's still time.
I know, but I'm so mad at them.
All right. Do we want to talk about Edmonton? 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If Sarah agrees with Shayna and does it late the next time, we're not talking
okay.
about it.
Okay.
Sarah, you have to go first.
Okay. Well, I wish they would have done a little bit more. I like Troy Stetcher. I think that's a good build off on what Holland did last year with Ekholm. I think it's good to kind of, when you're in this position, I know we're like ripping on the Canes, like don't do little by little, like go for it. But these are two teams in a little different situations. And I think the Oilers just tweaking a little bit is good, but no, I kind of wish, God, Evander Kane not working out. Who could have told you? I bet they tried to move him. Like we heard
I'm
trying to do that and get maybe a Gensel or get a, I don't know.
Buchnevich, right? That's who they were kicking.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted them to get Buchnevich. I think that was like the other, whatever. But St. Louis, we'll talk about that too. I don't know. Don't mess up the vibes too much. I'm kind of going back and forth. This is truly one where at the end of the season, we'll see if they should have really fought for getting another winger.
Shayna?
I'm the same character addition, whatever. I think if it helps him roll 12 forwards more consistently, because last year we saw down the stretch them go 11-7 a lot because that meant more Draisaitl McDavid, which is great, but like you don't want to burn out your stars and you want to have the option, whatever. To me, Henrique is exactly the forward addition they needed. I love that they have more forward versatility. Like I know he's starting as a 3C, but he's someone who could shift up to the wing and be he's a good passenger in a line. He does a lot of the little things. He's not super flashy. I think that's great, wonderful. And then if they decide to top load and put two centers on the top line, he can easily be a second line pivot. I think between him and Nugent Hopkins, like just to have a ton of options is what you want. I just wish they got a backup goalie because we saw Skinner trail off a little bit over this last stretch. And, you know, he's been hit or miss at times. And when he's good, he's great. But I would have wanted someone more than Calvin Pickard, like behind him. And it could have been a Kalkanen. It could have been Nedeljkovic, just to have someone cheap and easy. I just think that was the one miss.
All right. Well, we will see for sure. Is this finally the year? Who's to say? Moving on to big swing moves, we look at the Florida Panthers, who brought over Kraken legend Magnus Helberg in a minor league move. And this is the team that made the trade for a captain. Kyle Okposo comes in, as does Vladimir Tarasenko, who not only joins your team for offense, he will take out one of your top defensemen in the same swing. Buy or sell the Florida Panthers, 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Okay, Sarah, go ahead.
Just from the second the Tarasenko he's going to be on the trading block again. Rumors started. I'm like, oh, brother, like, let's not have a repeat of the New York Rangers situation where you just get him because he's a big name and he didn't really necessarily. I mean, they did need help on the power play, but it was like they were
because they got Patrick Kane that they kind of negated his role.
Exactly. They were stockpiling just kind of big names. And I mean, I don't want to deter people. I love the drama, but I didn't think there was enough time for everybody to come in and change, whatever. Tarasenko is the perfect complement to the top six there. Like, Nick Cousins was obviously, like, he's there for the vibes, but third line is for the vibes, okay? We don't need him on the second line wing. So Tarasenko immediately comes in. He wanted to get traded to the Panthers. He talked to probably bestie Bob. I'm just, like, saying they're friends. I've started this rumor. They're Russian. I don't know. I'm like, they stick together. I'm starting this rumor. But he gets there. He is on hat trick watch immediately. It's like, those players playing with him wanted a compliment like that. They go out and they talk to, I don't know, Paul Maurice is a very approachable guy to the locker room. They say kind of, we love a winger. And the GMs hear that. I love assistant GM Paul Kropelka there. And he's really underratedly great at kind of getting things done. He's a Boston boy. I don't know, he used to be with the Canes, but love him. But that was perfect. No, nothing more, nothing less. Just sign. Also, he was having such an amazing season that I didn't realize in the other shit show that is the Senators. I'm like, okay, imagine he really wants to go to a good team. So I kind of didn't give him enough credit at first when I'm like, oh my God, of course he's in these rumors. But I think perfect landing spot. There you go. Bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, Shayna.
Yeah, like Tarasenko there. It's like his point production in Ottawa was great. Play below the surface was concerning, but it was, I think, on a team like the Panthers, he doesn't have to be the guy. He can be one of the guys. He can just play to his strengths with it, which is his shot. So putting him on in the top six knocks Nick Cousins out of place. Whether Verhaeghe's the one that's going to shift to Tkachuk, I think that they're great together. Like, it's everything you could want and more. The Kyle Okposo addition is a low-key one. I fucking love it. I feel like Kyle Okposo seems... he has gone through some shit in his NHL career. He has not been in the playoffs in 8 years. I feel like he's someone we saw come into the Sabres and be like a team dad, and the team just rally around him. I love that he got to pick where he wanted to go. I love that he landed there. He's a very good defensive player. He can, you know, score like a big goal when you need it and chip in some scoring on the fourth line. That, to me, I'm like, that's the storybook one that everybody wants to see like go well. So I'm pretty pumped for that one. They didn't need much. I think they handled the deadline really well.
Well, there you go. All right, perfect. Moving forward, we're not even halfway through, friends, but we get to skip the next team because they did literally nothing, and that is the Los Angeles Kings. Next up on our listing is the Minnesota Wild. Buy or sell? 3, 2, 1.
No.
Okay, but we will talk about them next episode, friends, because there was some coaching mastery that I have all the time for in the world. Moving through the M's, Montreal Canadiens, not a contender. We've already seen them make their big trade earlier this season. Buy or sell on the Habs, 3, 2, 1.
No.
So.
Sheena's face.
No, it's hard. No. Because you, like, it's not that we're just trying to, kick out bad teams, but, like, there's so much more to talk about.
That's fine. It's totally fine. All right. Speaking of teams that are making more moves, we move on to the Predators in Nashville, who went from sellers to buyers because they seemingly can't lose unless they're going up against the Wild. A bunch of moves here, some players out, some players in. Buy or sell the Predators, 3, 2, 1.
Buy.
What was yours, Sarah?
Buy.
Okay. You get to go first.
Yeah, I mean, interesting look into what Barry Trotz's tenure might look like. I feel like there's pressure to come in and do something, especially when they're almost undefeated since the U2 concert fiasco or whatever that stat is. They're like, it's just, I hate it. But if I'm on the team or I am in the front office, I totally get it. And I get Barry Trotz wanting to come in and he's like, oh, well, everything's expensive. I'm like, good, stay away. Like, he made that quote. I'm like, let's sell the entire team, but that would be kind of short-sighted, I guess, for where they're at. So they got Decent assets for decent prices. Like when you see that the ask is like only a fifth round pick, I'm like, okay, fine. Go get Anthony B. I don't know. I'm indifferent to it. I feel like I'm really harsh on the Predators because they aren't really going anywhere, but let's give it one more try with Barry and like let him have his job security for trying, and then we'll see on the off season if they really decide to sell.
Shayna, did you buy because you like what they did, you're surprised by what they did, or you don't like what they did?
I actually kind of like it. And it's tough because you look at the Predators, you know that they have eyes on the future. And Trotz has been saying that the whole time. But then some of the moves, like signing Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly, it's like, those are right now moves. Those aren't future moves. But it seems like that was bringing good culture and good vibes moves above all else. And that was the priority. I think the thing is, there was a quote from him when it was talking about Saros, and that can be an off-season move. That can be a later date move. Like, you didn't have to rush that now. Why do it if you don't have to? And, like, he's really starting to heat up. They said, like, he said something like, it's really hard to make the playoffs. And he doesn't want to make it harder on his team. Like, you know, like, that, to do that, it's a good experience to have, too. And I feel like they were going to end up either right inside, or even if they sold, they'd be right outside the playoff race. Like, your draft pick, it's not going to thread the needle one way or the other, I think, if you started buying or selling enough. You're not tanking to the bottom. And they have like a good amount of draft capital. I didn't think that they had to. I love that they didn't sell Tommy Novak. And I think the fact that they bought, and it was at, like, at such a bargain, why not? Beauvillier is a good reclamation project. Trotz knows him. He knows how to get him to his strengths. I know he's a GM, but I'm intrigued by that, right? Like, I wonder if we see him go after more players he knows too from his coaching experience. Like, we don't know his tendencies. And Zucker, to take on his cap hit, you get him for what, a sixth? Why not? Like, why not reward the guys for what they've done?
Going to be interesting to see. They are definitely in it now, which no one really thought would happen. Another team who's not officially in it, and everyone thought they would be, but was very active at the deadline, was the New Jersey Devils, brokering a deal and then also doing a lot of little moves on their side. But still, we're not sure if it's enough to overhaul their goaltending, even though they did. Buy or sell on the Devils, 3-2-1.
Bye.
Hi. Sorry.
Sarah, go ahead.
Gina's the expert. I thought, are they building up goaltender insurance so they can make a big splash in the off season? Are they, it stinks like what's gone on because Tyler, I don't know. I like that they got rid of Toffoli. I don't know. I'd like to hear Shayna's opinions on this more. It's hard to make a splash for goaltenders in trade deadline season as opposed to the off season because there's so many moving parts, and I don't really knock them for not rushing it. But it's just like so disappointing where they are right now that it's hard to be excited about anything they do.
Shayna?
It just feels like they got on the ball too late. Like, they let the coaching situation slide. When they lost the Kings game, you saw that game, and it was like, if you don't fire your coach and just to shake things up, I don't know what you're doing. But it just feels like they were so behind the ball in every single move. Selling Tyler Toffoli to me, I'm like, okay, it makes sense. But they didn't get enough for him to retain 50%. Mm-hmm. That sometimes you're like, what's the plan here? When they brought in Jake Allen at first, I'm like, are you going to block your path to making a big goalie splash next year? Because he has another year on his deal. So does Vanacek. The fact that they moved Vanacek out, slam dunk win for me, for Kokkonen. Like, I like that. But it just feels like this whole year is a missed opportunity. And the deadline felt like that too. Like, you got to just go big sometimes. Even if it's not to buy or not to, like, something. It just feels like a quick rush of, let's put a couple bandages on this and figure it out in the summer. And I just don't think that's any good.
Not any good.
Not any good. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. I've used all my words.
Another team that's not any good for our purposes is the Islanders, because they did, again, literally nothing. Moving on from you. Good job, Lou. The other New York team, though, did do some things, and that is the Rangers, looking for their center solutions. Some choices good. Some choices, in my opinion, not so good. Buy or sell talk on the Rangers, 3-2-1.
Bye.
Sarah, go ahead. When you go second, I'm going to make you go first every single time.
Okay, the pressure is on the Rangers. They, I kept joking that I wanted to see them get Frank for Toronto, and then I kept backpedaling, saying in all seriousness, I wouldn't like that. But now I'm like, it's because I thought they were going to do it, and then I could criticize it when they did it. Like, I really can't believe that they didn't do that. It looked like they were scrambling at the end when they went to finally make a trade with CBJ. It just felt like they should have got Buchnevich. They should have got, I don't know, but I think Buchnevich would have been a good, perfect fit. That's like, you're still going to be productive, and it's still going to be an addition to the team without it overpowering the entire team. But I like that they didn't do too much. And but then you look at the rest of the division and it's like, oh my God, who's to say, like, honestly, genuinely, who's to say?
Which is interesting, right? Because this is a team that did do lots of big flashy things last year, and that did not bode well, but that was for other reasons also. Shayna, what do you want to add about the Rangers?
I really like the addition of Wenberg. I think that in the right deployment and usage, he can be really good. And I think they need a third line center. Like, Hedl's done for the year. You needed something. And I think he can be a good all situation player. And hopefully you'll see him like elevate players like Kako, assuming he stays on the right wing. But you mentioned Vetrano. Like, Vetrano to me was the prime overpayment target that you're paying for high shooting. And I felt like the Rangers don't need a shooter for Zibanejad's right wing. They need someone to help him retrieve pucks and do the dirty work so he doesn't have to do it all himself, and move pucks to him so he's not in this playmaker role. That he's a good playmaker, but you want him to be that shooter. Buchnevich, like you said, to me is the perfect addition for them that, oops, they know works there. They know works specifically with Kreider and Zibanejad. And it just feels like that was the move, kind of like set your pride aside and go for him, especially after the Canes got Gensel. Roslovic is a good puck mover and he has speed. Maybe he can work there and be that like bargain bin option. It just felt like the prime opportunity was there to make something work, especially once the Canes got Gensel.
Well, watch. I like the Wenberg move. I don't like the Roslovic move. But anyway, moving to our next group, which I'm not even going to allow you to vote because we already talked about the one lowly little move they made, and that's the Ottawa Senators, who had to ship out Tarasenko. The Flyers, however, very active. Again, a broker. We talked about them getting Ryan Johansson. I don't know that there's a ton more to talk about in terms of the Flyers' moves other than what we've already said, but we will vote on it regardless. Philadelphia in 3, 2, 1. Hey, nice job. All right. We are not going to touch on the drama surrounding this team because we'll talk about that in our next episode. Let's stick specifically to the trade deadline action. And that is the Pittsburgh Penguins, who for the first time in Sidney Crosby's NHL career are seemingly sellers. Buy or sell in 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Let's buy.
Sarah, go ahead.
I've been keeping a close eye on the Penguins. I watched their first game without Gensel in Boston, and it's extremely depressing. I mean, like, it is, they have no gas, no juice, and they're in such a tough spot. I mean, I understand you can't have it both ways. You can't. I know Crosby really wanted to fight to get Malkin and Letang and keep everybody together for the 17-year run. Like, I get wanting to do that, but you also have to understand that they're old. Like, we're getting older, and it's not, it's going to be a lot of cap space taken up and a lot of space in the front of top of the lineup that the team needs to get younger, and Dubas has come in saying that it needs to get younger, and you're going to have to give up an asset to do so. And when you're flailing around the trade deadline again, like when you're going into it with horrible efforts from everybody except Crosby, it's like he kind of put him, I hate to say it, I love Crosby. I think you're doing right by your pals to fight for their contracts, but he kind of did this to himself where, okay, what did you think they were going to do? You think everything is going to go perfectly? You saw last year that everything did not go perfectly. And then you're in almost an identical situation this year. And it's like, what do you expect of a new GM? I don't know. People are being too harsh on Dubas when it's like, what can you do in this situation? And he said he doesn't think a full retool is necessary, but something definitely had to give at this deadline. So you're just like, okay, well, you get Gensel. I think you could have maybe squeezed a first out of him, but again, it was a seller's market and the conditional first, pretty good. Some of the prospects, pretty good. You kind of had to stockpile if you're him because you're trying to make this a quick and painless type situation. So I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening, but I don't understand really what else you can do in this situation.
100%. You know, do you want to be Washington in 2 years when it's your core three aging stars and nothing else, literally? So you're still not winning. I'd say you'd rather be Dallas. So let's see what Shayna has to say.
Yeah, I feel like the blame is being pointed in one direction and only one direction. It's like if Jake Gensel wasn't going to extend in Pittsburgh, and like I think Emily Kaplan said they didn't talk much about an extension.
I think that's what she said, yes.
Right, it was earlier in the year. I mean, I would have circled back because if you can have Jake Gensel for next year, you do that, in my opinion, and you try to move other pieces around because he is that top-end talent that you want to keep around, especially if you think you have another shot at this. But I feel like they went for quantity over quality, which I don't love in the return, but, you know, who knows what other packages look like. The biggest problem I have is, like, I feel like there was so much damage done when Bestie Kyle came into Pittsburgh that it was going to be hard to manage. It feels like the biggest mistake was last year management let their general manager, who was it at the time, Fletcher? Or was it Hextall last year? No, Hextall, excuse me. They had Hextall last year. They let Hextall manage the deadline when it seemed like they knew they were going to be done with him at the end of the year. And he added players and moved trade assets out that they didn't need. So you had to come in and clean up the mess. Like, they were contracts signed that shouldn't have been. So I think that was problem number one, that it was always going to be like an uphill battle this year. I'm surprised Nedeljkovic wasn't moved, but I guess there wasn't a ton of goalie movement for whatever reason, even though this seemed like the year to do it. I think moving someone like Riley Smith would have helped. But again, we don't know if any team wanted him or his cap hit. So it's like hard to say. But it feels like they're doing what they need to do to try to push forward, whether it's a fuller retool than we anticipate or a quick turnaround. Like, they're not in an easy position right now. And there's definitely some big decisions still to make. So I feel like everyone just going off on one person right now, being like, this is the reason the Penguins are dead. Like, it's more than that.
All right. Well, a team that also sold that I don't know that we need to touch on because it was all selling and it was all selling. And that is the San Jose Sharks. Do we need to talk about San Jose Sharks?
Well, no, because we're going to hit another team that I feel like we'll hit that, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So a team that also was somewhat active, but not so much. We talked about their one move, the only move that the Kraken made at the deadline. We've already discussed in when we're going to the Rangers. They also extended Jordan Eberle, which is not deadline news officially. We'll talk about that more in our next episode. I don't think we need to talk about the Kraken because we've talked about the Wenberg trade.
Yeah, that's fair.
Fair.
Rangoon, you agree? Perfect. Good. Mm-hmm. All right. St. Louis, they did nothing other than ship out Malcolm Subban. So again, kudos. Thanks for showing up to the party or not. But next up, a team we aren't sure what they are anymore as well, and that is the Tampa Bay Lightning, who bring in Matt Dumba, Anthony Duclair, and help broker a deal between the Ducks and the Oilers that got the Oilers the pieces that we already talked about, as Tampa Bay gets Adam Henrique before Edmonton moves him over. All right. Buy or sell? 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Oh,
we disagree.
That's the first one. All there right, we go. Move on. Friends, how does it affect the Leafs? 3, 2, 1.
Bye. I'm wearing my Leafs shirt today.
Shayna, go ahead.
Okay. The Maple Leafs winning streak, I almost feel like happened at the worst time for them, because then they were like, we only need to make little tweaks. When it's like, a middle six center would have been nice. And I don't know, actual right-handed defensemen, because we see their issues of running five lefties all the time. It felt like that, like Brad Tree Living's asset management literally is going on the concernometer the second we're done here, because I don't think he does very well on a budget. I feel like they love the idea of getting guys where they only had to pay 25% of their cap hit, that it didn't matter if they were actual pluses to the lineup. I think Edmondson could be a good add, but he's left-handed. You don't need that. I look at Ilya Lyubushkin, and it's like, I know it worked in the past and he can work in his role, but he's been very bad since. I get it. He's a right-handed defenseman. That's not who I would have spent a third round pick on. Like, if you took the assets you use to bring in these players and put them towards someone actually good on defense, you could have had something there, and they just missed the opportunity. It's an important year. That's not how I would have handled things. But, you know, I'm not the Leafs GM. I'm just here to talk shit about them.
Sarah?
No, completely. I mean, you just look at what they have, and it's like, it should have been Chris Tanev, and you wait to see, okay, now that he's gone, what else are they going to do? Maybe Noah Hanifin for the vibes. Like, and they didn't. It was just, yeah, we'll give you Joel Edmondson. I love Joel Edmondson. I think he's hilarious. I covered him in Carolina. And I do think people are shitting on him a little too much, but it's because they needed something a little bit more than like a number six defenseman. So, I mean, he's in this spot. I mean, they also have gotten so much tougher, and like, where does it get them? So you get another tough guy. And I think Leafs fans are probably a little bit sick of that when the differences, like, it's clear they need something a little bit different. But I don't know. The Leafs are vibing now with their win streak that they just had with Matthews and his 5 million goals. So it's just always going to be what it always is. The core needs to perform and not dry up.
Indeed, indeed. You know, we'll be talking about whatever happens next with them. Next team up, we will move on from, because the Vancouver Canucks made a very appropriate trade that they paid the exact right amount for. And that already happened right at the beginning of the All-Star break. I love you, Shayna. But let's go. I think I already know the answer to this. The ultimate in fan frustration and rage, the Vegas Golden Knights, buy or sell? 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Sarah, go ahead.
Oh my goodness. It's just everything I could want from an entertainment and league standpoint. I know the NBA, it's like, it's too much player run and you get these super teams, but people are exaggerating if they say the NHL is going to become anything even remotely. There's no cap space. There's no culture of that, that all that's even threatened. Like, we're allowed to have some fun and make some moves. And it's interesting because when Vegas does things like that, it's like other teams, it forces us to look at them and say, okay, when GMs, we like our group, throw our hands up like that. It's really smart that actually the Canes decided to go for something this year so they wouldn't be compared to someone like Vegas Golden Knights. It's like, nope, we like our group isn't good enough, especially when you look at the Golden Knights and it's like how they've handled things. They trade for immediate players to win right now, and they are willing to give up assets. And it's like, it has yielded really productive hockey. And then you look at the fact that they are in what you consider a small market, as someone like a team relatively doesn't have as much interest in Vegas as, like, historically, that's why they have teams coming in and out. But they're taking chances and they are getting all of the gate revenue in the world. They're getting all of the success. It's like, gotta be a dream for Gary Bettman when it's like, it goes to show if you get enough money on paper and drive to do things, that these markets can be successful. And it has to be entertaining though. It can't be like we're doing the bare minimum to survive. So you have to have this set up right. And I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying they aren't pissing teams off. I've seen a few reports where it's just kind of like teams appreciate certain GMs for being willing to talk and not screwing them over. It's like, okay, I'm so happy for you guys that the Boys Club is alive and well, but I like doing business to survive in a small market team. That's what they're doing, if you ask me.
It's definitely very interesting to watch them approach cap management and development of resources and draft picks very differently. But the Vegas Golden Knights were big fish hunting for sure, getting Thomas Hertl, that San Jose retained salary on, Noah Hanifin, and Anthony Mantha. Shayna, are you a fan or not?
I am. Listen, Golden Knights are not here to make friends. And they don't fucking need to be. This is a business. I literally don't care what other teams think about Vegas. Like, if it's, to me, yes, you want to say they're exploiting LTIR, you're mad about it because they're winning and doing it. Just like everyone can be mad about Tampa Bay winning and doing it. If you lost your player, your $8 million player, to a broken bone, you want a way to replace them. There's a system for a reason. Could there be tweaks? Could there be ways for the NHL to keep checking things to make sure everything's kosher? Absolutely. Why not? That's a conversation to have. But like, Mark Stone has a lacerated spleen. What do you want the Golden Knights to do? I get it. It's 2 years in a row. He still had back surgery last year. Like, this is the reality of it. So I like that Vegas goes for it because the loophole's there. Take it. Why not? I love the addition of Hurdle. I'm so excited to see Hurdle on a good team again. We know how he looks on a contender, and it's great. And he looked great with no one around him this year. So when he's healthy, go off. Mantha is a good addition. Hanifin, big swing that we all had him going to Boston or Tampa, right? And then Vegas comes out and is like, nah, this is ours. Good for them. I like that they take the big swings. And, you know, yeah, look at their first round picks, how many picks or players that they had drafted in that position that they have left, but they're not going after rentals with these players. Mantha's the rental, and sure, he could walk at the end of the year. Hurdle's a long-term piece. You know, you look at guys like Pacioretty and Stone. Those were big pieces that they kept for a while. So it's asset management in a different way than we're used to, but it works for them. They're having success with it. So I like it. Could it burn them in a couple of years? Sure, but they're not worried about that now. The only thing they'll, you know, to worry about is who's going to get the boot this summer. Like, did Chandler Stephenson's, did the door just get open for him to walk as a free agent? Maybe, but that's a problem to deal with after they go for their second, you know, try to go for a second cup straight. So I like it. I like that someone's willing to just go for it.
Well, a team that isn't going for it and is in fact now, and we reference object lessons that the Penguins should be paying attention to, and that's the Washington Capitals moving out key players as they collect draft picks on the road to Rebuildville. Buy or sell talking about the Caps, 3, 2, 1.
Sell.
All right. Just like the Caps. Hey, look at us. All right. And there is one final team to talk about, and that is a team that is putting itself in a position to try and make the best run that it can, that I don't think anyone saw this coming before the season started. That is the Winnipeg Jets. They had Colin Miller, Tyler Toffoli, and Sean Monahan, which again, we've talked about already. But Winnipeg Jets at the deadline, buy or sell. 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Hey, Shayna, go ahead.
Okay. I like, there's two things I really like. They went low key for each position so they could address everything, right? They needed a little help down the middle. They needed a winger. They needed a defenseman. They didn't go too big on either any of the pieces, that they were able to get all three. And they got good players for them. I also like that they started early getting Monahan. I had some questions about the fit. I didn't think Monahan's production was the most sustainable in Montreal. I thought if he was in a lesser role in Winnipeg, it might fade, but he's been the 2C and he's been very good there. But I like that they were able to see how he looks and then assess and decide what to do. Tyler Toffoli, to me, is the perfect addition for them. That second line is going to look so much better however it shakes out. They definitely have to figure out the exact configuration they want to run, because it feels like they've had some issues once Connor came back, like how to fit everyone with like Velarde and everything. Like, there's some balancing. But now they have all these options to balance with, so I think that's great. And the second line's better, so you have no choice but to play Ehlers more. So that's another win. Colin Miller was super cheap, and I think he's a good option to have depth. Like, they look good, and I think that this kept them in that Central Division arms race. Like, they look like a team to beat, and I'm really excited to see how these three teams shake out.
Sarah, you were excited to talk about them. Go ahead.
100%, because I was wrong about them. I mean, I was kind of annoyed to see, like, the players wanted to be traded, and they're like, no, we're going to keep you guys for identical time frames, that we're going to sign you long term. We're not going to trade Connor Hellebuyck. We're going to stick to this. I got annoyed. I'm just like, oh my God, it's another. I equate them and the Predators kind of in the same way. But then they come in and they're winning, winning, winning. They're winning right. They're having exciting vibes. And I do like the way Rick Bowness coaches and acts. Like, I think he is a good coach for this team. I know it's like old school, he's up to criticism, but I think for this team, it's like, it's a weird team where Paul Maurice said he couldn't do it. There's somebody like Rick Bonus needed to go in and do it. And Paul Maurice needed like the vibey Panthers. And it's interesting in their own heads, but they bet on their players and maybe the players get frustrated. Who even knows? Well, I want to hear stories from Mara after the end of the season, kind of about this, but it all pans out. They're all enjoying playing. And then they finally go. My problem is they kind of stand pat way too often. So they get Tyler Toffoli. They get somebody that is going to be so fun to watch during a playoff run. And I mean, Toffoli, like, you got to hand it to him. The amount of times he gets traded, it's simply because he's good and he's a great asset. Like, he's one of the few in that situation where it's like nobody's trying to pass him like a hot potato, but he just ends up being on these teams that, like, it doesn't work out. But I hope, God, he goes everywhere. Like, now he's back up in Northern Canada. So I hope it really finally works out for him there. And I love the clutchness on this team with kind of their old guys. Kyle Connor's back. I don't know. I'm a big fan of it, and they've changed my opinion on them. So good for them.
Well, there you have it, my friends. In just about an hour, we have given you all of our takes on the teams that we decided were worth talking about and their trade deadline moves. We will be back later this week with a regularly scheduled episode where we go through all of the fun usual segments that we have and love and you love too. We usually wrap each episode with our favorite game, but since it is March, which is Women's History Month, we wanted to shake things up a little bit. And this month, each episode, we're going to be giving a shout out to a woman who we respect, admire, or just otherwise want to give some flowers to. It can be any woman anywhere in the world. So let's play our new favorite game for the month of March. Shayna, who do you want to give a shout out to?
I'm going to start with Mina Kimes, the gold standard for sports analysis. With NFL free agency coming up, I can't get enough. She is brilliant. She's so well-spoken. Everything is so well-researched, and I love the shit she gets and just how she dishes it back. Like, she takes it, like, I hate that, like, women have to take it well, but I love the snark that she dishes out to people who are just so envious of how smart and damn good at her job she is. Like, she is, for me, the gold standard for any analyst in sports to look up to, not just women, but, like, for all the men, there is a shit ton to learn from her.
Perfect. We love Mina. Sarah?
I'm going to go Belle Frazier. She's a BU student. I met her at one of the Bruins games over the weekend and just loved it. Really reminded me of myself when I was younger, kind of in college, going to all these games, getting all these opportunities that I possibly could and putting myself out there. I loved her enthusiasm. It kind of really reminded me, like, why I do this and what I can do to maybe make more connections with women. And you go through phases when you're doing this for a decade or longer, right? Where it is kind of like, okay, I want to focus on myself, my personal life. I want to focus on my work, me, whatever. And you get a little jaded at certain things, but to have women still coming up, and not that anyone's looking up to me, but to be like, okay, there's conversations I can have that benefit maybe me more than they even could benefit someone like her, where it's like, okay, keep going. So there's an up and comer, and she's done really good work at BU. So love to see that student journalism.
Well, much like in our game, I actually have a bit of an agreement, and that's with Sarah this week, because my shout out is to our fan and listener, Michaela, who I met at a Kraken game and got to see her again this past Friday. And she is brilliant. She's pursuing a career in sports, and she said that she listens to us all the time, and she's just so sweet and so kind and clearly so smart. We had a little sticker swap on Friday, so now she has some Too Many Men stickers to adorn her things with, and she is pursuing, I don't have the note here in front of me, but she is pursuing a baccalaureate, I do believe, related to sports, and, like, that's just way smarter than anything I've ever done. So, Michaela, you're awesome. It meant the world for you to come up and say hi, and much like Sarah said, when not every day is a great day, to know that people like you are out there fighting the good fight and bringing more important, valuable, wise female voices to the world of sport. That's just the greatest thing to see. So there you go. All right, my friends, that's it for this episode. Thanks for sticking with us. As always, interact with us on social at 2_much_man. If you want to buy our merch, you can. TooManyMenMerch.com. The seasons are changing. Maybe you need a fresh wardrobe. Now is the time. And hey, you can even get a Torts shirt to support the most recently suspended coach in the NHL. And until we talk again next time, it's our ask and our hope that each of you will do something, no matter how big or small, to make sure that hockey truly is for everyone. Have an awesome day.
Love you.
Bye.